podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Introducing someone that serves our community in a capacity that I personally admire greatly and we as a church have supported for many occasions. Stokes County is gifted in that we have two outreach ministries that serve our county total. And today we're gifted with the fact that we have Mike Culler, director of King Outreach Ministry, that is going to come and speak with us today. Mike and his wife Jan live here in King. He is a retired captain of Winston-Salem Police Force, and after retirement took on the position with KOM and has just done a remarkable job leading that group of volunteers over the past years. And we have all had many opportunities to either give financially or give in physical help or materials that they need in so many ways. But I'm, again, very thankful that he is here today to speak to us. He can share more about his family and his life and what has brought him to this point of his life and how all that works. And we're just excited and grateful to have Mike Culler here with us today.
Got to be careful, all these critters up here. Y'all bear with me. These things get me in trouble quicker than anything. All right. There was a senior citizen, and he went to the local Chevrolet place, and he bought himself a brand-new Corvette convertible. And he drove out of the street and thought, I'll just open this thing up and see what it'll do. So he jumped on I-40. He kicked it. Run it up to about 80. Went up to about 90. Got up to about 100. The wind was blowing through what little bit of hair he had left. He's kind of like me, not a lot of hair. And he looks in his rearview mirror, and here comes a state trooper. Emergency flashers, blue lights, siren, flashing headlights. So he kicks it a little more. Runs it up to about 110, about 120. And finally he says, you know, this is crazy. I'm too old for this. And he pulls over to wait for the trooper. Trooper walks up to his car, and he looks at him. He said, sir, my shift ends in 30 minutes. If you can give me an excuse I have never heard before, I'll let you go. The senior citizen sat there and looked at him a second, and he says, well, 25 years ago, my wife ran off with a state trooper. I thought you was trying to bring her back. You know, Mr. Rogers had it right after all. There really is only one of each of us. But this information is a lot more important than just to boost our self-esteem. It should help us better serve others by being more confident about the God-given role that we have in this life. You see, nobody else fits our shape. Nobody else has our blend of gifts or talents. Nobody else has had the relationships that we have, the problems that we've had in life. All of these things makes it very important. Paul wrote, God made our bodies with many parts, and he's put each part just where he wants it. And so as it is with a human body, so it is with the body of Christ, which is the corporate collection of all of us who believe. But this uniqueness goes beyond giftedness. It reaches well into the depth of our very being. You see, nobody else has our life. Nobody else has been through the things that we've been through. They've not had the problems that we've had. They've not had the trials that we've had. They've not seen the sorrows or the joys or the gladness that we've had. Nobody else maybe has had the particular job that we've had. So it shapes us in a unique way. And that way is based upon who we are, what we have done, and it helps us to give others a message that maybe they've never heard before. You see, all the things that God uses is amazing. He doesn't waste anything at all. Every piece of our lives, every experience that we've had can be used by Christ to touch somebody else. Clint, I'm just glad that snake didn't fall over towards you. Clint had already said, if the snake falls on me, I'm out of here. You know, we're made for each other. We live for each other. And we even die for each other like we can die well. It's kind of like a memorial I read one time about somebody that died well. So Christ uses everything. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are we just getting by, or are we living for a reason? Are we merely existing, or are we living to help others? See, it's a big difference. All of us know people who that we have worked with, maybe they go home and they sit down in a chair and the next thing you know, we're going to their funeral because they gave up. And yet there are so many others who retire and keep going and keep going and keep going. I'll give you an example. Marietta Gentry. How many of you know Marietta Gentry? How many of you were taught by Marietta Gentry? Marietta Gentry is 99 years old. Marietta Gentry comes to King Outreach Ministry every Tuesday morning to work. She will work circles around everybody there. If there's not a lot to do, she'll find a broom or a mop and she'll start sweeping or mopping the floor. And if you're standing in the way, she'll swat you across the bottom and say, "Get out of the way." That's the kind of person she is. But she loves people. Think about all the things we've gone through so far in our lives. Think about the difficult or the challenging things that you've had. And what lessons can you teach others by using that? You see, God's not messing around. There's not any accidents in our lives. He uses everything. He puts us where we are for a reason. I could take you to the place on my deck within 3 months of my retirement from the police department. And I said, "Lord, I know there's something you want me to do. You've got to show me what it is. I can't see it." Within 2 days, my neighbor came over and said, "We want you to be the new director at King Outreach." And I laughed. I said, "I'm not going back to work." She said, "We'll see." My neighbor across the street was Susie Grabs. She came to see me. She was chairman of the board at the time. She said, "Mike, we want you to be our new director at King Outreach." I said, "Susie, I love you, darling. I served on the board for 6 years. I'm not going back to work." David Merritt, who was the director, called me and said, "Mike, God has told me you are to be my replacement." Now, if you think that won't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And so finally, to make everybody just be quiet, I said, "I will come for an interview just to make you hush and leave me alone." So I went, spent 2 hours with them. At the end of the time, they thanked me, and I went home. I'm watering flowers. My wife comes home. Frances Allen, who is my neighbor, comes over and says, "We want you to start on this date, and this is your starting salary." My wife looked at me, and she said, "Are you going back to work?" I said, "Well, I guess I am. But wasn't my plan, but the Lord had other plans." And the rest, as they say, is history. But you know what? It has been a wonderful ride there. I have been there 12 years. I have served with so many people. I've got 168 volunteers there. Most of them are age 75 or older. They keep you young. I said most of them. I didn't point to you and say anything. I have one sitting back and says, "No, I'm not." You know, we're going to do a little exercise here in just a minute. I want you to think about all the things that you've done in your life, some of the things that you have done, maybe that you're not thinking about right now, and I'm going to use it to illustrate my point. Now, you're going to think you're in an exercise class because some of you are going to be up and down more than once as I ask some of these questions. But those of you who have just graduated high school or getting ready to graduate high school, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying here because this is going to show you what I mean. Now, those of us that have ever served or currently serving or in training to serve in the branch, any branch of military service of our country, would you please stand up? Would you give them a round of applause, please? Thank you. Now, if you've ever served or currently serving or in training to be a college professor or a teacher in any capacity in a public or private school, community college, college, university, would you please stand? A teacher. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Be seated. Now, if you've ever served as a CNA or a med tech or in the medical field, working in a nursing home, a hospital, anything like that, anything in the medical field, if you're a doctor or a nurse or ever have been, would you please stand? Thank you. If you ever served in law enforcement, any capacity, as a trooper, a police officer, deputy sheriff, federal officer, anybody in law enforcement? This is one of the first places I've ever been. I didn't have, I got one. I knew I'd have somebody somewhere. All right, thank you. Now, if you've ever served in any capacity as a local, city, county, state, or federal employee in anything other than what I've mentioned so far, would you please stand? All right, thank you. If you ever served or are currently serving or in training to serve our Lord or His church in any capacity, if you're a minister, associate minister, a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school teacher, a deacon, an usher, anything serving our church, would you please stand? Praise God. Look at this. All right. Thank you. Now, if you've ever served as a volunteer for any organization, hospice, the Red Cross, King Outreach Ministry, a volunteer in any capacity, would you please stand? Look at this. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay, so now some of you are saying, all right, Mike, what are you doing with this? Why are we jacks in the box this morning? Very simply, the overwhelming majority of us in this building today understand that each of us are called and sent by God to help others. We are here for a reason. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about serving His people. It's about reaching out to someone else who may need help to do something for them. Anytime that we served others in any capacity, we have served Christ. And that's what He wants us to understand. It helps us to realize that we are to die to self to serve Him. We are where we are for a reason. Our vocation, our neighbors, our community, our careers, all of these things come together to help us to do this. Every one of us has a circle of influence that nobody else has. You think of your friends and your family, your co-workers, those that you have been with. Nobody else has that exact same circle. And yet in that circle, you are showing others with the things that you do what He means to you. You know, if you've ever talked about people being sent to the mission field and assumed if you don't go, there's not a mission, well, you're going to commission missionaries today from right here in this church. And, you know, one of the things I think that is wonderful about this is because you are teaching the coming generations what it means to serve. And the mission field starts here, but it goes throughout the world. A lot of people think that there's dark corners that nobody wants to serve in. Folks, there's dark corners right here in our community. Every one of us has a mission somewhere, and some of us have more than one. We touch so many lives. We are all sent. Think back to last October when all these churches came together to do a mission blitz. We call it sharing the blessing. I'm sure folks in this church have been involved in that. Several other churches have. You see, all the things that were done, there were over almost 1,000 jobs done. Did you realize that each of those is a mission project called for by Almighty God and answered by His people? Now you think about that. You mean it's a mission to go and clean out some elderly person's yard? Absolutely. It's a mission to go clean out the gutters maybe and do a little painting? Absolutely. It's a mission to go help somebody clean out a room they've not been in 15 years? Absolutely. All of these things mean that we are using the love of Jesus Christ to touch someone else. We are answering His call. Anywhere we go, we represent Christ because we know Him. So many times when you start talking about being a witness, people start getting their palms real sweaty. Think, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go somewhere and represent Him, but you do every day. Every one of us do. And here's the biggest secret of all. Every day, every one of us in this sanctuary. We either lift him up on high, or we pick up the nails and the hammer and drive them in his hands one more time. Just by what we do, how we act, and how we treat others. You know, Peter wrote that we're supposed to be ready to explain our hope and do it with gentleness and respect. Sometimes we think it might be hard to respect somebody. But we need to remember, Christ initiated a relationship with us when we weren't deserving at all. And yet he loved us. And he sought us. And he reached out to us. And he said, I want to be your Savior. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone may even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we didn't start this relationship off very well at all on our own. And yet somebody reached out to us through Christ's love to tell us the story of Jesus. It may have been a parent. It could have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a grandparent. But somebody somewhere thought enough of us to share that message. And I ask you today, as parents and as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as brothers and sisters, have you reached out to your siblings to make sure that they know Jesus? You see, we forget sometimes our own. We want to go to others. There are still some of us today that identify ourselves as Christians, but we don't see living the Christian life as something being exciting. We're kind of like the people in Jesus' time that followed so far behind him that the dust had already settled when he had been somewhere and when he had worked a miracle. Yet you think of the missionaries that have come to this church, the stories that they've told, and you think about while they're standing here and they're talking to you, their eyes aren't here, their eyes are out on the field, knowing that there's more fields to be plowed, more harvest to be rendered. And they're thinking about going back and sharing the message of Christ with someone else. You see, we all are called to do that. Most of us today don't use the term disciple to describe ourselves. Do you call yourself a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. Are you a follower of Christ? Are you following so far behind that nothing is exciting about following him? Jesus described disciples as this in Luke 14, verses 25 through 34. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and he said to them, If anybody comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For each of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't sit down to think about the cost first enough to finish it. Unless after he laid the foundation, wouldn't be able to do it and have others mock him, saying, This man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or what king preparing to go to war against another king doesn't sit down and consider first whether with his 10,000 he can go against those with 20,000 and defeat him? Or other, while the man is still a far way off, he sends a delegation and seeks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor, how can it be seasoned? We don't want to be a hanger-on. We want to be a soldier of the king. Have you ever stopped to think about what he's called us to do? There are some people who say, you know, he just asks too much. I just cannot do it. Well, what if when it come time to save us, he said, well, you know, for Mike Culler, he's just sinned too much. I just cannot pay that price. But he didn't say that. He said, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died for every one of us. And he wants us to work and help others. You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing here. The major assignment for any disciple is found in Luke 5:10. And Jesus said, Do not be afraid, because from now on you will catch men. He wants to make us a fisher of men. The lifelong assignment of every disciple is to become a fisher of men, to be unified by the Holy Spirit, to draw others to Christ. The purpose of us coming to know Jesus is that we might know that he paid the penalty for our sin and provided a way for us to have eternal life, and that we might share that with others who have not yet heard. We're a witness every day. When Jesus was walking along the shore, in Matthew's gospel we read, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So the question I ask each of us today is, are we following Jesus? If we're following, then he's going to make us fishers of men. But if we're not a fisher of men, maybe we're not following as closely as we thought we are. We have to realize that bearing the title of Christian means that we bear the name of Christ. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says, "Your words are found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Alexander the Great summoned a soldier in front of him one time when they were fighting. This soldier would, when the fighting got the fiercest, he would withdraw. In other words, he would run away. And Alexander the Great had him brought before me. He said, "Young man, what is your name?" He said, "Sir, my name is Alexander." And Alexander says, "Either change your ways or change your name. One of the two." We bear the name Christian. If Jesus summoned us before him today, what would he say to us about our being a Christian? Would he ask us to change our name? Jeremiah proudly declared, "I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." In other words, he meant, "I bear your name." And his life reflected how seriously he thought about that, because as legend has it, he was placed in a hollow log and sawed in two for his belief. The realization he belonged to Christ was a constant reminder that he needed to reflect his character as God's character. Every one of us as Christians need to remember we bear the name of Christ. God's word will be a joy to us when we seek to live like he has called us to do. Let us never forget we bear the name Christian, that we are supposed to be like him. We need to prayerfully consider how we might live out the word so that it will show to those around us. They won't have to ask us if we're a Christian. They will know just by our actions and what we say. I want to share a few cases from King Outreach with you to let you tell or let you understand what all you have done to help us. Not long ago, we had a young lady come to us. Her power had been behind. It was fixing to be turned off. We got her power extended, paid her bill. But the bill was in her hubby's name. And hubby decided, since she already had two children, was pregnant with a third, all three his, he didn't want to be married anymore, and he took off to the beach to live with his mama. And as soon as he got to the beach, he called back to Duke Energy and turned the power off. To get it put in her name took a new deposit, and you were able to help us do that. When he found out it was back on, he called Duke Energy again. He was going to try and turn it off, and the lady at Duke Energy says, "I'm sorry, this is not your name anymore. It's in somebody else's name." So you helped us do that. Had another young lady who has four children. She'd been in the hospital for over a week. When she's in the hospital, she doesn't work. When she doesn't work, she doesn't draw a check. Her husband had to stay home to keep the children during that week, so he wasn't working. He didn't draw a check. Rent was due. The landlord was getting pushy. And she came and said, "Mike, I don't know where I'm going. I don't have a place to go with my four children and my husband." And we were able to take care of her rent and keep her in their home. You see, those are the kind of things that come to us on a daily basis. It's not just food. Sometimes somebody needs help beyond things that we can't do. Some people need medicine. Some people need medical procedures. We do as much as we can, but we try to find other resources to send them to if it's something that we're not supposed to be doing. But all these things are done with the love of Christ. And when our interviewer's finished, the last thing they're supposed to do is ask that person, may I pray with you? And I tell them, reach out and take their hands and pray with them. Let them know that somebody cares and that we're using Jesus' love to help them. You see, God sends us resources. They're always right on time, in time, to do the things that we need to do. And I can only do that with our volunteers because of what you do to support us. Without your help, we can't do these things. As I close today, I ask that you would consider taking the oath of the unashamed. It's a pledge of service to God, and it simply states, I will stand for the hurting, the hopeless, and the unloved. I will say what others refuse to say. I will teach or reach the world without losing sight of the individual. I will walk upright. I will speak the truth, and I will live above reproach. I will not be ashamed to fall on my knees, to cry out to God, to shed tears for the dying, to live a life worthy of a leader, to stand up and lead my generation so that all may know Jesus Christ is alive. Would you pray with me, please? Oh God of all creation, we humbly come into your presence this morning, first acknowledging that we have failed you in so many ways and at so many times in our lives. And yet, Father, you continue to pour out your showers of blessings upon us. You love us even when we're unlovable. We confess that we have sinned, we repent of our sins, and we ask for your forgiveness in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose blood can wash away all our sins and make us clean again. Great Lord of heaven, we ask your blessings upon each person in attendance here today. We ask your guiding and loving hand to be placed upon all of us, so that we all might know and feel your presence daily in our lives. Please help us remember we're all called by your name, and as Christians, we will each and every day be a witness for you, giving you glory, or driving the nails in your outstretched hands one more time. Now, O God, as we prepare soon to go our separate ways, we ask your divine guidance upon our nation, upon our leaders, both appointed and elected, and upon all who serve you in whatever manner you've directed for their lives. Let us live for you, carrying your message to those around us, and remind us that we might be the only Bible that some people will ever see. For your gifts and your blessing, we give you honor, praise, and glory, thanking you in the wonderful, powerful, and blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.